Yes, Young Goob the God, Marley Minded Podcast, we back in this thing. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're right here with us. Appreciate you chopping it up for a minute. We about to get it in. Welcome back, season 2, episode 2, Marley Minded Podcast. I am Young Goob the God. We jumping off in this thing. Once again, we appreciate your attendance in this particular event that we have in the night. It is, what is this, the 8th or 9th of September, to be exact, the 9th, whatever. Yeah, the 9th of September. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight on the Marley Minded Podcast, we have something very special for you. Once again, it's going to be me, Young Goob, the God, and this thing with no shirt, just because I don't feel like putting on a shirt. That's how we rocking this thing in season 2, all of season 2. Hopefully, we'll be joined by a few of my friends. Once they hit the link, we'll throw that thing on in. We got a few topics that we're going to be jumping in tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. Well, a few things that have been going on around this world. First of all, we're going to talk about the great Michael K. Williams and the unfortunate passing of that young brother earlier this week. And how kind of like these celebrities have been falling into situations that have been going on forever, but it's our turn to feel it in our generation. So that's something that we're going to tap into. We're also going to tap into kind of the hip-hop side of things. This old college level, I'm talking about college level boy, I'm mixing them together. Certified Lover Boy versus Donda. Like, is any of what, which one is better? Is any of them good? Is one great? You know what I'm saying? Are they receiving proper hype? Are they not receiving hype? We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to kind of see where else this thing takes us. I got a few ideas that we're going to be popping off. But without any further ado, I'm going to bring my co-host into this joint. I believe one half of the Tones is here. We got Tony Vias from. And welcome.
What's happening?
How do you
doing? Chilling.
Welcome back. How you feeling today?
I actually feel amazing.
That's the fuck. You have to turn that down in the background or we're going to get hit with the licensing on YouTube. None of it ain't going to make it out. Yeah. But we got a plan to do just that. You know what I'm saying? As long as we do it in breaks and intervals, you know what I'm saying? And we talk over it, but it'll not want us out while we're talking. So we're going to work it in. But once again, my dude is feeling amazing. Greatest of all time, obviously representing your boy Young Goob the God. I know he ain't walking around with a picture of me on his shirt, but
that's good old Ali.
You know what I'm saying? One of my brothers in the GOAT game. So we're gonna go ahead and dive right into this situation, kind of see what leads us off. And early this week, I forget what day exactly it was, because days are running into each other, you know. We lost the brother Omar on The Wire, Michael K. Williams, Chalky White, you know what I'm saying? All type Tuesday. Of memorable characters he was playing. Tuesday. A lot of memorable characters that brother played. And if you have not seen The Wire, make it your business to sit down and put that in your TV watching schedule. We might even make a series on some of these things that y'all need to be watching, kind of, you know, watch them with you know what I'm saying? Create something. But Michael K. Williams recently fell into what seems to be a situation that has been happening for years. It's not anything new, but it's time for us, for the people who have impacted us, to have these things happen to them. So, you know what I'm saying? We recently had DMX. We had Digital Underground. The name slipped in my mind.
Shock G,
the one who took the satins off your panties. You know what I'm saying? We had a number of these things. Mac Miller. We had all kinds of overdoses as a result of what felt like a good time at the time from people who did have addiction issues, but weren't doing anything that killed them before. But all of a sudden, this situation killed them. And it's a product of the commercial drug industry with things like fentanyl can get put into circulation, into a game that people thought they was having fun. Now they really playing Russian roulette even more than ever. And it seems like many celebrities are falling a victim to this particular situation. And you would think that they would be the ones who would get their girl the best. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't be falling to this, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Now, I'm sure, even though I'm not informed on these numbers, but I'm sure non-celebrities are falling at relatively similar rates. But I don't hear that. I hear what I hear. Do you see it as a situation, like an epidemic of it, or do you see it as something that it's just a turn of the, it's kind of like a part of the game when you're dealing with somebody who's still trying to overcome addiction issue?
I think I think for the most part, it's like with anything. I think we had a time where people just trying to, you know, make as much money as they can off a shitty product. You know, obviously drugs are shitty products anyway. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, relative to what she's talking about. Like, we talking about marijuana, we talking about weed. We talking about hard drugs, though. We talking about cocaine, crack, you know, whatever that is. If you talking about that, and you, I know everybody done heard the term stepped on, stretch, whatever. It's like with anything. It's like with retro J's, you know what I'm saying? You trying to increase your dollar, but the product is not the same product you bought 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? It looked the same. It got the same characteristics. It may even make you feel the same. Like, you know, you get that nostalgia when you put on, you know, a retro pair of kicks or whatever. But then when you wear them for a while, you start to realize that the quality ain't the same.
Oh, you see it as soon as you get them for a lot of them.
For a lot of them, you still see these things. Yeah.
And that's kind of like what's knocking the people down.
Yeah.
So they get it. It's like, oh, this is what the party was.
So I think it just come down to people trying to maximize their dollar, but providing a less quality product. If you want to use it, you want to use it. Huh?
A deadly product. You know what I'm saying?
A deadly product, but a product that the majority of people been using for years. A lot of they say it take a lot, you don't OD on crack, or you know, and in Mike Williams' case, they say it was heroin. Which, you know, obviously, you know, that could happen, but I just think it's more so, you know, like greed, you know, people trying to maximize their dollar, but they're not giving you a quality product. And then unfortunately, when it's sneakers, you know, you may be out a couple hundred dollars, but when it's drugs, you know what I'm saying, you're going to lose your life. You know what I'm saying? That's the caveat.
Yeah, that is the true caveat, that like certain lanes that you play in have a higher opportunity cost or a lower opportunity cost, however you want to look at it. I see it as a higher opportunity cost for participating in that situation if the rules change. You know what I'm saying? But in the cannabis world, the rules change to a certain degree. It's not going to affect you the same way if it changed in the heroin world, Lord knows. Definitely in that cocaine world. But it's like, it's very sad that people who have high artistic levels succumbing to this thing, and then you hate to say like they robbing us, like they owe us something, that we was deserving of something, or it was more of robbing them of their ability to do what they was trying to do. And it's like when it's happening in your time span, and it seems like it ain't nothing, like it's as bad as it ever been. You know what I'm saying? It's just like an epidemic of it. You know what I'm saying? But once again, I always try to relate things in a larger scope, and like, yo, this stuff is, nothing is new under the sun. You know what I'm saying? To try to monetize the overly monetized products, to change them up in order to get stuff out of them, none of that stuff is new. People have been bucking forever, and they're going to keep bucking. It's going to be able to, like you say, stretch and step on some things in order to still get what you're trying to get. Even my paper towel has been stretched. You know what I'm saying? They are obviously smaller for the same price.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's shrinkflation. Inflation is when you increase the price of a product and don't change it at all. But shrinkflation is when you keep the product price the same, but you change the quality or the size or something about the product in order to keep your ROI the same. You know what I'm saying?
It's diminishing returns, man.
Yeah. It's a diminishing returns problem.
diminishing return. So I know when I got to Texas, Michael K. Williams, like I felt how I felt when DMX passed. I felt how I felt when Nipsey passed. I felt how I felt, you know, when anybody you admire, especially in the arts, when they pass. I think for the most part, I became a huge fan of Michael K. Williams. You know, obviously from The Wire, that was the first time I had seen him, you know, as Omar. But like you say, Chalky White, Boardwalk Empire, you know what I'm saying? And then just most recently, like me watching Lovecraft Country and, you know, getting into that. And also just understanding that, you know, when he played a role, he played it to death. And, you know, I know he did theater. I know he did all those things. And I was truly a fan. Like, the people around the world just know him as Omar. And then he's just so connected.
People don't know him as Omar. Like, The Wire, as much as it's great of a TV show and series that it was, it never got the critical acclaim and the popular acclaim that other things that made, like The Sopranos.
Right.
Sopranos is a lot more of a commercial entity on HBO than The Wire. And both of them are high quality. And The Wire is always, if not more times than not, looked at as a better series as far as overall production, acting, the whole works. So it's like people know him for Lovecraft. People know him for more stuff that he did in movies. I don't even know how many people know him as Chalky White. You know what I'm saying? Right. Boardwalk Empire. I've watched that 2 times over just for the sake of it, just because it is that good. You know what I'm saying? And he played that well of a part. He was he was cold-blooded in that thing. You know what I'm saying? Yet he was tender-hearted as well. He was trying to be. It was who he said he was, who they were saying he was outside of it. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was a very, very deliberate person in what they did, you know what I'm saying? But also very deliberate in their nurturing and caring. And if it was not a person who was getting nurtured and cared with, you might not have felt the same way. But it's unfortunate, dog, because it's like these cats, every day you wake up in the morning and it's like you dodging text of who done passed from something.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, I just want people to make it to 60. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you want to live as long as you can. You're trying to get as many days in as you can. It's like working out. Like, I'm trying to get as many days in as I can that my body will allow, you know, without a shut, before it shut down. I'm trying to get as many days as I can. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and we had a mutual friend that passed recently. You know what I'm saying? And, we were just talking about it and just talking about how, like, so many people are passing away young, man. 53 is young. Yeah. You know, 54 is young. So it's like, I'm thinking about all the people that I've admired over the last few years that done passed, with the exception of, like, Cicely Tyson, you know what I'm saying, who lived to be
90 what?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, from Nip
to Mike, the Prince.
Yeah, to Prince, to Mike, like, it's like nobody making it to 60. Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to get as many days as I can. And then, you know, even with Mike and with Prince, with the
same thing,
prescription meds, or, you know, it ain't heroin, but, you know, just whatever that addiction is.
That commercial, you know what I'm saying, aspect that get put in it, that you have those personality traits that, you know what I'm saying, make you pull towards substances, then them waters get dirty so quick nowadays. It just seems like the waters is so dirty.
It's murky.
That everything that you pull out of that need to be thrown back. Like, you can't eat nothing out of them waters, boy. Please stop.
Hey, there's a line on, man, I can reference everything in the music, but there's a line, right? On, it's a Jadakiss album. And it's, you know how him and Styles go back to back. You know how they do the back to back. And it's a line where Styles say, every day we smoke about a quarter. And everything is bad for a nigga nowadays. So we drink a lot of water. And it's like, that shit is like, that line is like 20 years old or some shit. But everything is bad. It ain't even just drugs. It's like the food in your body. It's the information you consume. It's the entertainment that you consume.
Everything is stepped on.
Everything is stepped on. You know what I'm saying? And dumbed down in order to maximize the dollar. And it's like at that point, when everything get fucked up, you find yourself reverting back to the shit that actually made you feel good when everything felt pure. I was talking to the Kev and Troy and Garrett on Sunday. And I was like, man, it's crazy. Ye dropped a week ago from Sunday. Drake dropped on Friday, you know, that just passed. And I was in the crib listening to the Far Side. You know what I'm saying? Like,
man.
You know what I'm saying? I was in the crib listening to some shit that came out when I was like in middle school.
That's 29 years old. 29 years
long,
old.
You know, I was listening to, you know what I'm saying, She Keeps On Passing Me By and all that kind of shit. And that's not the, you know, whatever, but I find myself reverting back to shit that I like. And I ain't that old nigga that's like, because, man, I actually listened to the Drake a lot this week.
I did as well. I listened to the Drake this week. I listened to the Donda this week.
I didn't make it through the year.
I don't know if I made it through the Ye or the other one, because so much of it felt, I don't want to say the same, but it just wasn't so dynamic that I knew that I was done. First of all, both of them things was over an hour and a half. One was like 128, the other one was like 146. After just dropping 7-track albums with 3-minute songs, 2.5-minute songs for a summer, you come out with a movie, like, you know, that boy dropped a church movie on us, and it's not a bad album. Speaking of Donda, it's not a bad album. I feel a lot of the Kanye that I want to hear. I feel a lot of new Kanye that people don't appreciate that I like, but I also feel a lot of purposeful trying to say something that don't necessarily
connect.
Right.
I
don't want to say feel authentic, because I ain't trying to. I know I'm supposed to be making hot takes on this thing and be like, you fronting and you lying, but that ain't my nature. I can't even sit up in it. I can just tell you how I feel. It just don't feel as authentic as like the stuff from earlier. Not that I want the old Kanye. I want authentic Kanye, no matter what Kanye say. I am a Kanye fan. You know what I'm saying? People talk shit about Kanye because they feel he's some type of weirdo. He's super uber confident. You know what I'm saying? I feel the same way about myself. I just don't do it how he do it. But
the line, I think would turn a lot of people off. I think would turn a lot of people off about Ye, and I'm a Ye fan for sure. But you know, the lines get blurred between confidence and arrogance.
That's an interpretive thing. That's
what the line, like, yeah, it's perception. You know, somebody gonna look at it and say, man, he hella confident. He's always out to try new things. And then some people gonna view him as like just super arrogant, and he just feel like he could do whatever he want. And that shit goes the same way where I tell motherfuckers the lines get blurred between ignorance and arrogance. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes people just don't know. And when they just don't know, you can't, and if they go about their way feeling like they could just do whatever because they don't know, and then once you educate them on it, if they kind of take a step back and be like, okay, I see what you're saying, then they were just ignorant. But once you educate them on it and they don't take a step back and they continue to do what the fuck they want to do, then that's arrogance. I don't have the luxury of having personal conversations with these people or being in their presence like that to kind of determine if it's ignorance or arrogance. And I don't really give a fuck.
No, I don't.
But I just know that society as a whole, they have these perceptions of, that motherfucker just arrogant. And it's like when I watch old interviews and I hear when Jay talk about his uncle, when his uncle tell him, you know, you can't sell a million records. And then I fucked around and sold a million records a million times. And how people project they insecurities on you, you know? And he has a thing where he says, like, a motherfucker tell you that you can't do that. And it's like, nah, you can't do that.
Right.
You know? And people will project that shit. Like, because Kanye has the confidence to do what he feel like he want to do, he has the freedom. I don't even say confidence. I would more say freedom. Because when you free to kind of do whatever the fuck you want to do, the confidence is just a byproduct of that.
Now, I would say all of this freedom that we spoke of is not given to him by anybody, or given freedom is not given to you by anybody. Nobody frees you. You free yourself. You can be locked up in the box with a thing. You can't stick your arms out past your shoulders and be free. You know what I'm saying? Free is not obtainable by somebody else's permission. So freedom that we speak of is him not really caring what people are going to have to say about his process and product. He wants people to appreciate it in the end, but in order to get it, you got to go ahead and let me be free. Now, what come out on the other end, if you don't like it, you don't like it. That is your freedom. You know what I'm saying? That's how I want to. That's going to probably be my stance when it comes to, we just talk about how you going to come. My thing is for everybody to find their freedom. You ain't going to get it from somebody else. So you got to go ahead and create your own freedom however you see fit. You know what I'm saying? You just need to go about it in a manner that doesn't violate other people's freedom. So therefore, you can keep yours. You know what I'm saying?
If you feeling free as a result of others' approval, then your ass will never be free.
Now, self-love is the best love, because your love is the worst drug, dog. That is too much to try to take on, dog. Get freedom from other people? That's too much work to try to please other people in its 6 billion, 100 billion, quadrillion things to please about every single person, and then multiply that by all the people on the planet or how many people you're going to interact with. That's prison.
I look at the freedom like looking at he in the music industry. So I look at it like, you look at the current state of music and you choose to go completely against that shit. You know, we already know what may bring success when you look at the current state of music. Like, based off what's popular, what the majority is listening to, you could follow that blueprint. And you may throw a couple songs out there and they may be duds, but you're going to throw a song out there that's going to fit that blueprint or that mold, and it may stick. And then you become successful. But that may not be you. You just doing that to kind of, you know, fit in. And even if you become successful and you make a lot of money and you win awards and shit, you ain't free because you're not staying true to who you are. Yeah, Kanye got a bunch of money, and you know, a lot of not, and we can't, like, money don't play a role in.
Yeah, money.
It definitely plays a role, you know what I'm saying, in terms of that. The fact that, like we discussed before, that Jay could be fucking 50 or 49 or whenever he decided to bait up. The average nigga who got to go to work and do all that shit ain't doing that. The average nigga that got to, you know, answer to a boss ain't finna lock up and grow his hair out and do that. The freedom, the freedom comes from him being him and not him not having that, like, answer to nobody. So he can, if he decide to grow dreads one day, he can do that. He don't have to worry about a motherfucker saying, oh, you know, you're not fitting our dress code policy, or, you know, because, no, I create the policy. So I can do whatever I want to do. So freedom, money is it gives you that luxury to kind of do whatever the fuck you want to do too, within reason.
So freedom is like freedom is a byproduct of creation.
Correct.
And it is a byproduct of being a creator in whatever you do. So, and that's how you find your freedom. You can be a creator and find your freedom within the constraints of somebody else's job. Once again, the freedom concept, it don't have to be like without constraints of somebody else. Because Some people, in order to be free, need stability that they can't provide for themselves. So there's a level of management in order for them to have their freedom. So, and sometimes it comes in the form of a job. Sometimes it comes in the form of a partner, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the fuck you're looking at. But once again, it going back. Like when Jay baited up, Jay could have easily used a corporate mind state because he was going into a corporate world and was like, I am going to continue to be this well-groomed cut person and give them what it is known to be versus I am going to give them who I am, what I've been giving them is who I am. This new thing that they may not know about is still authentically who I am. And as long as I continue to authentically be who I am, not who I am in an effort to please a particular narrative, population, demographic, chase money, you know what I'm saying? Then you got the highest probability of being successful because you're going to consistently be true to yourself if you true to yourself.
Yeah.
If you ain't true to yourself, then you can't be consistently doing that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown ass man who baited back up at 37, that whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm saying, and then baited back up on these things. You know what I'm saying? Some more, boning them up some more. So it's like,
I think the biggest thing I tell people, like, you know what I'm saying? I work a 9 to 5. Shit, I work a 9 to 16. Shit. You know what I'm saying? So you fuck around. But like I've been trying to tell people, like, a lot of people be like, man, they let you do what you want to do. Like, you know, at a gig, like, they kind of let you do what you want to do. And I'm like, yeah, because I go to work and I do what I'm supposed to do. So when you do what you're supposed to do, no crowd is going to let you do what you want to do.
Yeah, nah.
I also, like, try to tell, you know, especially people that look like us, because we don't have the luxury of being white. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have that luxury. I wouldn't even call it ain't a luxury to me. I'm just talking about, you know, the luxury is being black. That's the luxury to me, but I'm saying the benefits that come along with being white. Yeah, the white privilege. We don't have that. So I pretty much tell people, like, you got to kind of establish who you are from the dope. Like, if you go into a new job or any new situation, it don't have to be a job. It could be whatever. You go into any new situation, you got to establish who you are from the dope. Like, you can't go into this shit trying to be buddy-buddy with motherfuckers. You can't go into this shit. You be cordial and you be professional.
Not even being buddy-buddy, because if who you are is but being buddy-buddy, then be that. But don't be that for the sake of doing it in an effort to hope people like you as a result of it.
Right, because like, I don't give a fuck who like you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't help who like me or who don't like me. You know what I'm saying? All I can do is be the best representative of me for people who do like me, the most authentic. So when they do see that, they be like, there it is. And every time they see it, be like, there it is again. Boom, and again.
But I also understand that people who do like me, it's going to be times that they don't like me. And them times that they don't like me.
All that is your business.
Yeah, but the times that they don't like me, they already understand that's who I am from the jump. So they just having a moment. It's like, I don't like you when you like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's cool too. But you already know that side of me. So it's kind of like, I'm not going to change who I am unless it's detrimental to you or if it's something that I know I need to work on. I'm not going to change that shit.
Yeah.
I am who I am. Like, it is what it is. If I do anything to, you know, offend you or whatever the case may be based on me being who I am, I take responsibility for that and I check myself and I reset and I come to you and I own it and I apologize and I do what I need to do. But if it's just a trait that you just don't like, I'm not changing that.
That's your business.
Yeah, I'm not changing that.
Either way is your business. Even if, like, when I do things that hurt people's feelings or people do not like, I will take responsibility for that. You know what I'm saying? That's not an issue for me. But that too is your business.
Dog, I be in meetings cursing and shit.
Dude, that too is your business. You can feel how you go feel. I can't do nothing about that.
I'm telling you, we have office meetings every Tuesday. I be in them shits cursing. You know what I'm saying?
Why is that not baffling?
I knew the first time I was in an office meeting and I cursed, and motherfuckers was like, huh? So a few minutes later, I cursed again. Because at the end of the day, what I'm saying ain't wrong. It ain't wrong. And sometimes, especially when you're dealing with, like, I don't drop no F-bombs. I don't drop no shit that's going to get an R rating. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to throw a couple shits in there. Yeah. I'm going to throw a couple hell nahs in there. I'm going to throw a couple I don't give a damns in there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to fuck nobody. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. But y'all know that this is who I am from the jump. And at the end of the day, y'all let them crackers cuss at y'all directly. Okay. I'm not cursing at nobody directly. I'm cursing in a general sense. This shit don't make no sense. When we talking about some shit and it don't make no sense, I'm going to tell you. I don't care if it's the director. I don't care if it's my manager. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it don't make sense. So because that's who I've been for the last 5 years or 6 years, however long I've been there, when I say that shit, they respect that because I didn't come in trying to be the house nigga. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come in trying to get your approval. I came in to do what y'all paid me every 2 weeks to do. But when some shit don't make sense, I want to let you know it don't make sense. I don't give a fuck if you like it or not. But I'm not going to tell you some shit that's going to be detrimental to the organization. Because most people, they don't know how to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a problem. Like, they don't know how to talk and engage and do all
that shit. That's not a skill that many people have developed over time. They usually wait till it get to a boiling point and just argue it out or passive-aggressively walk away without dealing with it, which was what I used to do. I was labeled as passive-aggressive because I just wasn't, like, confrontational. I was like, eh, you know? Because if it wasn't passive, it was probably going to be ragingly aggressive because I didn't. Once again, I didn't know how to just like say stuff, even though my mom used to be like, use your words.
Use your words.
I don't like it when you have to tell them, I don't like it when you do this.
I be saying that shit to my little godson. Man, you got to use your words. I know what you're trying to convey to me through your actions, but I need you to enunciate.
We need to learn how to do that so you can be able to, you know, to communicate with people before the top get blown off. But yeah, over time you learn how to communicate it out because it's in your best interest to find a way to just have a way of communicating who you are. Whether they understand it thoroughly, that's really not your job. It's not your job to make people understand you. It's your job to be the best representation of yourself and let them understand it for them. Like, is you not going to convince them who you are? They're going to determine who you are for themselves, regardless of what you say, because what you say matters, but it doesn't matter what you say.
So back to the Kanye.
Right. So yeah, I was gonna say we drifted off for like 18 minutes away from that because I think we started at 16. But yeah, so when it comes to the Donda album by Kanye, I feel like is trying to get this who he is now out, but it keep going back to who we knew him to be prior to this transformation. And I guess it's a janky transformation in the eyes of spectators. Like, for him, it could be moving smoothly. For me, it feel like you just throwing Jesus in the song, you know what I'm saying? Or having the church choir singing on the song.
It don't feel as authentic as Jesus Walks.
No. And that's what you do. But that felt authentic, and he was doing the same thing, and he was upset that people was not recognizing him as somebody who was talking about Jesus on tracks. That's like why he done went all the way left and just doing, you know.
So this is the perfect segue into what I'm about to say. He cursed on Jesus Walks, didn't he? He said nigga and a couple things. Whatever.
Vince Young, Restless, and Restless.
I know the song. I'm trying to think if he cursed on that shit.
Somebody tell him.
Maybe he didn't curse on Jesus. But beyond that. So let's talk about the hot topic when it comes to the Donda album. And I'm sure you know what that is.
What is it?
The Three Stacks verse. And I know that touches soul. I know you heard it.
Yeah, man.
All right. So Kanye says that he removed the verse in the song because Dre cursed on it. And it was supposed to be a clean song and all that, right? And I'm like, damn, Kanye cursed on that song. Right?
On Jesus Walks or
Life of the Party.
Life of the Party. Oh.
Right. Did he curse on that?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a Kanye fan.
Is that the name of that track? Life of the Party?
Life of the Party, yeah. So I'm a Kanye fan, but even a Dre fan, an Outkast fan, a Big Boy fan, like to my soul. So my problem with this whole shit is that, and Dre did end up releasing a statement and saying, like, you know, if he knew it was supposed to be clean, whatever, 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 it's unfortunate, whatever. He was being real diplomatic about it.
He was being Andre 3000.
He was being Andre 3000. He was being diplomatic. He showed all kind of humility. My problem with that shit is that this man talked about some very personal shit on this album, in that verse. You know what I'm saying? He was very personal. He down there poured his heart out. I heard when he said that, you know, Kanye lost his mom, he lost his mom. It was a connection. He felt that. So for you to be like, you know, it was supposed to be clean. Bruh, it was clean. The flow was clean.
I don't even know what he said that was cussing. I was listening to the man talk about his mama, though.
He was talking about, I think, you know, the part where he talk about when they was in Bible study and the girl that was helping him do his homework, they was fucking in the church. They was fucking.
The
biggest thing for me is that you get somebody to talk about the death of their mom, the death of their dad, him feeling like his dad, you know, was ashamed because his mom gave him her last name. He got very personal on that.
Yeah.
And for you to be like, you cursed on it.
But that is, you know what I'm saying?
And then for you to take that and because Dre say it wasn't a diss song when he heard the original version.
It wasn't, but so like if you want to do, that's what he wanted to do with that song. It was, in my opinion, like when it comes to Dre not being on that song, it ain't got nothing to do with cussing. He wanted to be a diss track to Drake after he had whatever he had going on with Drake. You know what I'm saying? He just wanted to have a diss. He wanted to turn it into a diss track.
But you tell me that you want that to be a diss track, so I can, cause so Drake could have humbly bowed out and be like, I don't want to be a part of that.
He wanted, it was retroactively deemed a diss track, in my opinion. Once again, it's like we got the verse. We got the verse, and the verse is a bigger topic of conversation
than the album.
The song on that album or the album itself. Like that verse had to be released in an effort to keep the album afloat, because it was more conversation about what it wasn't versus what it was.
So and what was the motive of Drake releasing that, though?
It's all like, theater. It's
what you thought, what Drake thought he was going to accomplish by leaking that song?
Theater, his name, and us talking about it, them talking about it, certified lover boy coming out, just noise. Noise in a world where stuff only lasts for 24 hours in a news stream. If you're doing that type of stuff, you create noise. You know what I'm saying? You created noise, then boom, certified lover boy drop. And now he too sexy for his clothes. When
I actually like that song.
I'm all into the sexy world. I'm living in the to every day. So once I heard him say that, I knew I like culturally he pushes culture. So now sexy is going to be cool. Dudes who make, like, I heard somebody this weekend, my homeboy was saying that he was like, what is this niggas talking about? They sexy and do 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 do. Niggas have always wanted to be sexy, whether they wanted to say it themselves or they wanted other people to say it. Niggas don't walk out and be like, I just want to be grime and dirty. If you do, then you probably are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But 9 times out of 10, there's a certain level of sexy that you're trying to meet. You probably ain't going to be overtly like, I'm too sexy for my shirt, even though Young Goob the God is too sexy for a shirt for the season two. So, but I'm rolling with the kid on when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? But very similar to the Ye album. I don't have anything recognizable about it other than little things like the I'm too sexy for my shirt, just around it, because the song is straight, but it ain't. It's just,
I ain't gonna lie. When I listen to the Drake, when I first hit play, Champagne Poetry is, that shit is great.
Right. When he do that,
that brittle path where he going to fuck off, dog. If we talked about this. If Drake could focus, if I ain't gonna say if he can't focus, but if he was to just focus on making like a rap album,
but if he just made truly a lyricist album, he'll have a lyricist album.
That Champagne Poetry is,
yeah.
I love that shit. I love the brittle path. I love the shit what he's spitting on. I love the shit that he rapping on. Cause even when he rap on off the Nicki Minaj, Beat Me Up Scotty, that Seeing Green with him, Nicki, and Wayne. Oh, and the shit with Ross, You Only Live Twice with him and Wayne. It's like, bro, even though Wayne ate that shit up, like he had to go last because he killed it. But it's like the album was flowing, and it's like every time Ross come on any album, it immediately becomes a vibe.
Right.
And that shit became a vibe.
I got to go back and listen because that song I can't pull it back and like, oh, yeah, the Ross song or like the Wayne song. It don't pull me back. But I do know the Wayne verse. Like, I could hit a Wayne verse on the Tyler Creator song, Creator album in my heard right now.
Tyler Creator album is great.
Yeah. Like, though, that album, and like I said, the Isaiah Rashad album, those two albums, I'm like, which one is the best album of the year right now? Nothing in the Donda and Call It Certified Lover Boy is white noise to me. It's like, those are which one more the controversial or popular album. But if you listen to Tyler, if you listen to Isaiah Rashad, you hear real deal hip hop music from before, now, and in the future.
You know what I'm saying? That called me if you get lost.
With the drama. It just, that's like having Kid Capri host the joint.
That shit, that Tyler album. But see, I like Igor. I don't know if you heard the Igor album.
Oh, yeah.
That shit's cool. I like Flower Boy. Yeah,
Flower Boy, even back to Cherry Bomb. I got put on with Cherry Bomb.
Yeah.
And Cherry Bomb, he had that song with, I think he had a song with Migos that was very like had a lot of chords, and he was moving with chords and stuff in Cherry Bomb, and he had a verse from Wayne on Cherry Bomb, which that song now hard as hell. I think he got Wayne on damn near everything. I don't know if he on Igor, but
he ain't on Igor, but he definitely on Call Me If You Get Lost.
He don't Call Me If You Get Lost. He on Flower Boy. He on
He got a song with 42 Doug, which that shit completely came out of left field to me, but the song is hard. He just did a song with Maxo Cream. You know who Maxo Cream is? Nigga out of Texas. I think he out of Houston. Yeah.
I don't know him, but I know the name.
Tyler Creator is
just that.
That nigga's a renaissance man.
Yeah. But he one of these dudes who kind of similar to a lot of these young boys when they young, full of energy and creative, they just going on it. And as they get older, like he 31 now, like he 30, 30, 31, something like that. And now it's starting to mature with this same thing and your energy level high. And it's like you not as distracted by what's going on around you and doing a lot more with you, and it feel better to you. Like the thing that I hear people have the most anxiety about when it comes to anything is other people's opinion of what the fuck is going on. And for me at this point, that is the most baffling thing, because for me to try to intake anybody's opinion other than mine is fruitless labor. I don't know. I'm just throwing darts in the wind, hoping that I please you. So that has to create a high level of anxiety. If those are your possible, if that's your potential product, a hope that you please versus I'm going to please the one thing that I know how to please myself.
But niggas done also went through growing pains too. So I'm a believer that you know you gotta allow people to go through that process so they can
figure
it out. They gotta figure it out. I always knew who I was, like from a young age. Like I always knew who I was. I knew at 14 that I didn't want kids. Like I knew that. That wasn't like some shit that came as I got older. That wasn't because I witnessed niggas go through child support and baby mama drama and shit. Like I just knew at 14. Cause I knew my friends and I knew, I'm like, man, I'm not raising these niggas. Like I'm not like I knew that. Like I knew I didn't want kids. I knew at a very young age that I didn't want to be married. Like I knew that. Like it wasn't like I didn't have like an epiphany. I didn't, you know, have a bad relationship. I didn't I just knew who I was. Now there was a point where I was close to getting married, but it was like one of those things where you kind of tell yourself you're not gonna do something, and then you decide to do it, and then in the process of doing it, you're reminded why you didn't want to do the shit to begin with. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like damn, like, what did I do? So I've had the luxury at a young age to kind of knew who I was. Like, now, obviously, there are certain things about me from when I was 14 to now that has changed. Now that I'm 41, but for the most part, the core of who I am, like, I always had that core. Like, I always knew. Now, it took time for me to expose part of that shit to my friends and to my world, like even with me writing, like the whole writing shit and writing poetry and doing all of that.
Because I found out late. I was like,
found out late. A bunch of people found out late. And that's why I call the shit Invisible Ink, because I always wrote. It's just that I kept that shit to myself because I felt like my friends didn't think it would be cool. It was just a part of me that I wanted to kind of keep for me, you know what I'm saying?
And I would say, like, and I'll let you keep, but we didn't come up in a time where overtly artistic people were accepted by your peers, you know what I'm saying? You had to be physical in some degree. You had to have some level of physical ability to be really accepted, you know what I'm saying?
Athleticism.
Whether you could fight, whether you could run, you could jump, play a sport, or you know what I'm saying? But if you sang and can draw, people saw you as like a skill, but like even you didn't see the way to take that and groom it. Cause the only people who was making it was big mainstream. You didn't see it. Like either you hit the lotto of success or you was not a part of it. You wouldn't got a job.
Now I'm gonna be honest. I always knew who I was, but I wasn't comfortable with who I was. You know what I'm saying? That was the biggest part of me keeping like the writing shit and all that shit to myself, because yeah, I knew like this is who I am, but I wasn't comfortable expressing that because of not knowing how people who I was cool with was gonna react to it, or them thinking it was gonna be soft, or them thinking it, you know, or them looking at it and be like, oh yeah, that's cool, like, and not understanding, like yeah, man, I put my heart in this shit, like. So the response was like, oh yeah, that's cool. It's kind of like when Kanye was like, man, I wrapped my ass off. And Jay Kevin was like, oh yeah, that was cool. Mayonnaise color.
Yeah, that
mayonnaise color being my push miracle. You
ain't hear that?
Like, damn, and you like, oh yeah, that's
you don't hear that Jesus walks.
Yeah, and then I think part of, and but then I, as I got older, because I know the first time I let my brother read some shit that I wrote, and he was like, oh yeah, that's Trey. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, you my brother, like you supposed to be. But as I got older, I kind of understand it. Like, that shit could be the greatest shit ever, but you can't really give people praise too early because they'll think they made it. And they may not never evolve until what they can ultimately be if you start telling them that they're the greatest shit off the first song that they ever record, or off the first poem they ever write, or off the first movie they ever direct. If you give them all this praise in the beginning, they may not ever evolve into what they could ultimately be, because they may feel like I've arrived. Unless they just have that self-discipline to continue pushing themselves and keep trying new things and all this shit.
Yeah, and hopefully that is the case, because your first effort is not going to be your best effort at all. At all. Like, you make a great effort out of your first one, but you're going to get better as you go. The whole thing is to keep making efforts.
Unless you have the Illmatic or the Reasonable Doubt.
I was going. Reasonable Doubt, the best Jigga album ever.
To me, no. It's the most highly acclaimed in terms of, like, but it's not the best Jay album to me.
Not the best Jay to you.
It's not the best Jay album to me. I love American Gangster.
I love American Gangster,
dog. Like, I love that album. I love The Blueprint, but that don't even fit in the mode, because The Blueprint may be his most commercialized album.
Right.
But I love the American Gangster
album. The Blueprint album was the blueprint to Tally Days. It was like, that was the soundtrack to Having Fun and Tally.
No, Blueprint and 400 Degrees was the soundtrack.
Yep, and the Dynasty album as well.
And I was going to say, I love the Dynasty album.
You can't forget about the Dynasty album.
No, right. That song you understand is like... Yeah.
It was a hell of a world that we was growing up in, full of.
So I was just talking to my cousin about this shit. We were literally just talking about the Dynasty album, and it came up because I was like, "Damn, if nothing else, the opening tracks on Drake albums are amazing." Like, fucking the opening track with Champagne Poetry on is the opening track. Nothing Was the Same. Like on the album Tuscan Leather. It's great.
Talk about that one.
On the Dynasty, when Jay start that shit off, the theme song to The Sopranos plays in the key of life on my mental piano. I got a way of seeing life like Stevie Wonder with bees over the do-rag. Intuition is clear, even though my vision is impaired. Yeah, I think the intro to the Dynasty album is probably one of the greatest intros ever, dog.
I am going there now. Go to the album.
Knowing that I could go, just switching a spare on the highway of life, soon to sharpen my sight. Oh, keen senses ever since I was a teen. Feeling like Ethan's suspicion. He would turn green.
Yeah, I remember when this came out, dog.
Adventure is not worried about it. I'm breaking temperatures below zero. No hero, no father figure. You got a partner, nigga. But I'm starving, my nigga. And the weight loss from my heart is starting to die from my heart. About to get to my liver. Watch it, my nigga. I'm trying to be calm, but I'm going to get richer by any means with that thing that Malcolm palmed in the picture. Yep. Never read the Quran or Islamic scriptures. The only songs I read was on the arms of my niggas. Tattoos, so I'm gonna carry on like I'm non-religious.
That's all day tomorrow.
Bruh, clap whoever stand between Sean and Figures, niggas.
Hey.
The dawn, but I'm superstitious. That nigga blacked out on that intro. Yeah. And also the intro on My Life and Times Volume 2 and the outro.
Yeah, and
when that nigga say the Mike Jordan the rap outside Jay working, now watch how quickly I drop 50. the double entendre, the 50 disc and the Michael Jordan reference, that shit was the Mike Jordan the rap outside Jay. My jump shot and Jay-Z the man is working. Now watch how quickly I drop 50. And then there's an actual conversation when niggas talking about some Drake surpassed Jay.
No, that's not a conversation.
That's not a conversation.
In 2021, as far as popularity, and not even as a rapper.
Not even as a rapper, dog. You cannot listen to that kind of shit and be like, this nigga is the king of double entendres.
No, he is the king of talk game, dog. King of talk game. Talk game on One Thou Wow.
On 1,000, dog.
One Thou Wow, Jigatar.
On 1,000, dog.
You're going to lose that battle, dog. You're going to lose that battle.
I don't even understand. I'm like, bro, like, as you said, it's not a conversation.
No, it's not a conversation.
It's not a conversation. That shit is not a conversation.
Like, for me, like, the conversation when it comes to, like, just putting your mouth at his microphone and going in is Andre 3000 and Jigga. You know what I'm saying? Just.
This nigga Fabulous made a comment.
Death with me.
This nigga Fabulous made a comment about the Andre 3000 verse, right? This nigga said, listening to 3000 rap is like watching Bob Ross paint.
Yeah.
It is effortless.
Yeah, make it look so simple. A little. I tell people I'm the Bob Ross of CrossFit. I be coaching the class. I do the thing. I show them how to do it. And I'm like, all right, it's your turn. Here's step one. Do this. And it look like a baby deer.
Hey, we get a chance to watch that Bob Ross documentary on Netflix.
Did I see it? Oh, I ain't see it. I didn't know if I seen it.
The Afro wasn't even real. Like, that was his hair?
On a wig?
Nah, that was his hair, but he did, like, all kind of shit to make it, like...
Yeah, okay, yeah, it was his hair. You could see through that. He was like an old lady at the flea market, man. It just went blue.
And so, no pictures, dog, I thought he was, like, interracial. I thought Bob Ross was a mixed baby.
You thought he was Babe Ruth and stuff, man, because Babe Ruth is black. For the record,
bruh. That's my
stance on here, that we are going Babe Ruth as well as Beethoven niggas.
Hey, when you watch the Bob Ross documentary, they get kind of dog, which is weird.
Yeah, it's a dog side to air artist, dog. Even if you painting trees, rock streams, and
little is dark posthumously, like after he passed. You know what I'm saying? Like how the shit with his estate and all that shit.
Oh, that shit, duh.
Let me tell you. It's a good documentary.
One of the better documentaries that I've seen on a childhood figure was the one on Mr.
Rogers, Tom Hanks.
No, the documentary, not the Tom Hanks.
I saw the movie. The movie was good. I didn't see the documentary.
Got a documentary movie. It's a movie, but it's a documentary.
It's good?
Yeah, dog. That meant, dog, he was probably this is going to be another pick. Probably the only pure white man ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever, dog. Ever.
In life.
In the history of Crackerdom, dog. He is the purest and the only pure one. He ain't want nothing but better for whoever you was, dog. Believe that about Mr. Rogers, dog.
Like it wasn't a facade.
Nah, it wasn't no. You ain't gonna be no stories coming out about they canceling Mr. Rogers in the future. You can wait 1,000 years and have virtual. You could go back and rerun his life every day. I believe it ain't nothing but sweater taken off and
the shoes put though.
That man ain't want nothing. The man was doing puppet cat. You might have thought he was a weird. He was just trying to express love. He was like, I'm gonna make other motherfuckers so I can talk as many love notes as possible.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. When I was a kid, I was like, Mr. Rogers come off like a pedo.
He was, hey, you know, you watch Mr. Rogers till you're old enough to be like, hold on, man.
Hey, he's trying to lure me in.
Please, won't you? That's too much begging, man. I've been going. I'm telling y'all that asking to get you in trouble, man. But watching that thing, dog, he was begging people to love each other.
Yeah.
Like, man, just be nice. Just be nice. But I'm going to watch the Bob Ross joint. I'm definitely going to watch the Bob Ross joint.
It's to the point where, you know, Melissa McCarthy, bridesmaid, all that. Yeah, they released a statement this week saying, man, we wasn't trying to make, because she was one of the producers.
Okay.
She was like, you know, we wasn't trying to make like a hit. We wasn't trying to, the controversy that has come behind the documentary, that wasn't our goal. But they like doing the process of doing research and shit, all kind of shit came out.
Yeah, duh. That's how I know you start digging. But I'm telling you, you're going to start digging in Mr. Rogers' backyard, boy. It ain't nothing coming up but flowers in love, baby.
It's like rock.
In love, yep.
Like rock. Y'all can't find no dirt.
The most you're going to find is that boy got a cannabis cigarette. You know what I'm saying?
And but, we know.
You know what I'm saying? But we've come to another wonderful episode of the Marley Money Podcast. We said we was going to talk about some stuff. We talked about it, kind of. We talked about what we wanted to talk about. Thank you for coming through, chopping it up. Hit the like button, subscribe, tell a friend. We're coming back every Thursday as much as possible at 8 p.m., so stay ready. I ain't going to have on no shirt. I'll be in the gym getting swole. Check me out. Fit life for me.
Marley, Tone
ain't making. Tone out in the priest trying to get it, man. He working hard. Working hard. Be easy, young go to God. Aunt, you got anything to say?
Nah, man, be blessed. I'm feeling blessed. So be blessed.
Be blessed. Easy, Moise.